Ross Atkins joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I love Kansas City, by the way. To me, Kansas City and Pittsburgh are two of the most underrated cities in the U.S.
Really? I wasn't expecting that.
I know.
Thanks
that's
for having
not,
me on, Jeff.
No problem. That's not the usual response. We call that, see, I was trying to lighten things up. I was trying to sort of, you know, work my way in gradually before I asked you, hey, Ross, when does Aaron Sanchez go to the bullpen?
Yeah. So, you know, maybe never.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope. That's the hope is there's, you know, I think one thing you learn in professional sports is that when you're dealing with human beings and dealing with elite athletes that do such exceptional things, there's nothing that's definite.
You know,
and so, you know, we're working to do our best to put him and this team in the best position to win.
You know, I found it interesting because a lot of the discussion after the announcement was made, a lot of the discussion kind of shifted to quote unquote how the situation was handled. And my point with people is always, first of all, you and Mark, you know, you, I think a lot of people, and I'm going to include myself in this group, we may have read a little more into some of your statements than we should have, but I think we read more into your statements and some of Mark's statements than perhaps was really there. You guys were pretty clear that, yeah, he was going to go to the bullpen, but there was no definite timeline for it. But beyond that, Ross, what's wrong with an organization? And I asked people this morning. To me, there's nothing wrong with an organization that talks to the player, talks to the other players involved, talks to the manager, goes outside to get some information, and tries to make the right decision. That, to me, is collaborative. I think that's a good thing. Like, I see this as a glass, not a glass half full. I see it as a glass full thing. You got an entire string rotation to buy into a concept of a six-man rotation. That's pretty important.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's overarching for Mark, for myself, for Gibby, for Aaron is not a matter of who's right. It's a matter of trying to get it right. We're not looking for credit. Certainly we'll take blame and never going to point fingers. But, you know, the goal has been let's win and let's make sure we're doing the best thing for Aaron Sanchez. So everything's a balance, and any way that we can end up getting closer to those two goals, it really wasn't about being right or necessarily about one person or two people, but let's try to get it right. And, you know, it has been an interesting process because it's something that a lot of people are very interested. We had, you know, former front office executives, current front office executives calling us and asking us how we were working through it because it is delicate and it's something that a lot of teams have dealt with and are going to deal with because there's nothing black and white about it. And I think a lot is made of workloads and thresholds and using examples and comps. And in Aaron's case, there aren't many of them.
Mm-hmm.
He is in a territory that's elite.
You know, Ross, other teams, you know, people always hold out Steven Strasburg and Matt Harvey. But, I mean, I look at what the Pittsburgh Pirates did with Gerrit Cole, and I understand the situation is different. First of all, he was a college pitcher. It's not a similar situation necessarily to Aaron. But, you know, they were able – I mean, that wasn't necessarily – that hasn't turned into, I don't think, anyhow, a negative story as a result of how he was used and how he was used through the end of the year. Were you able to talk to people like Neil Huntington, you know, or even people with the Nationals, either you or Mark, just to find out what they went through when they were making this decision? Like, what was their thought process? Because I know there's a whole element of proprietary information here. I get that. But,
yeah, you know, if there weren't many stones left unturned, if we didn't talk to people directly, then there was research done indirectly or some type of contact that was made in every situation. So you could really learn a lot just by going back and reading about mm-hmm. how things were handled. But at the same time, you know, every situation, and I'm not hiding behind this, it's actually really one of the more interesting parts of it. Every situation is unique. So there's so many things that are different about each one of the pitchers you mentioned, their deliveries, their recovery, their track record, their progression to get to the point where they are, the standings, the rest of the rotation, the bullpen, the usage to date, injuries or lack thereof. So all of those things, those are just off the top of my head that I mentioned that are different. The biggest one and the most important piece to our decision here has been Aaron's commitment to his work, to his routine, to his recovery at such a young age. His responsibility, professionalism, and maturity is what's driving this.
And Ross, I think also you guys had to wait in some ways because some people said, why didn't they just come out and make this decision a couple of weeks ago? And my response has been, you know, first of all, you got to wait until the trade deadline because you've got to have, when you sit down to make this decision, you've got to say, okay, what are our options? Like, what are we looking at here? What are all the various pieces? And I think, again, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I think you guys needed to see what you got at the trade deadline before you could make this move. Am I off base there or was that part of the decision-making process?
No, I mean, we had prioritized starting pitching and felt that we still had some flexibility, but it was not a strong preference over relief pitching. So we were looking for both, and we felt like we had to be agile and nimble, but it was 51-49.
Right.
And the only reason that we had prioritized starting pitching was because it's harder to get. You know, relief pitching, there might be something that we can acquire still. There might be something that happens in August or even in September. That's another acquisition. So as you've seen, acquiring Jason Grilley and Joaquin Benoit, those acquisitions are a little bit more, not necessarily easier to do, but they're more fluid. They happen. They're more common the more often that those acquisitions are much more difficult. So that's why there was a slight hedge towards starting pitching. But we were heavy in on every reliever in the market. It ended up that Liriano was the acquisition that made the most sense.
Is there any worry at all, or I should say, what are the worries about adding that day of rest for the rest of the starting rotation?
I think just the disruption of routines. That is less of a concern, though, than the fact that it is a restriction on our roster. So that's where we have to stay open to any and every possible move until we get to September. So, you know, if we get through the month of August and we've held a six-man rotation, I think that will be I think it would be unusual. I think it'll be really difficult to do, but we're going to try to do it. We're going to see what happens. I think having a couple of off days, we have three more off days, I believe, in the month. The fact that these guys at this point in the season are going to get an extra day offsets the rest, will offset the disruption in the routine. But it came down to them being open to it, all of them saying, hey, let's do what's best for the team. Let's do what's best for each of us. And nothing's a no-brainer. Nothing's black and white, but this made the most sense to everyone.
What does this do? And I think you may have answered this already, so I'm going to apologize if you have. But what does this do to bullpen composition, to the bench composition? You know, this would appear from a distance to be maybe added workload for Russ, for example. Is there a scenario where maybe Eric Kratz comes up here? There's got to be a trickle-down effect to going with a six-man rotation. Have you worked that through, or is that simply, basically going to be almost a day-to-day thing with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think somewhere in between what you've said there. So, I think because of the three off days, the workload on Russ will be okay. We may have to catch Josh a little bit more than he would normally catch, but we've done that already. So, is it day-to-day? Somewhat, yes, you do. At this point, every single game during the course of a major league season is so important. But when you're fighting for first place and you're this far along, I think that's when guys find another gear, find another way. They also seem to put their self-interest well behind the team's interest. So, I think that's been the case the entire time here. The one thing I will say about the moves, about Aaron Sanchez, about the acquisitions, as we look across you know, whether it's Jason Grilley, Joaquin Benoit, now Francisco Liriano, they come into a mix where they look around them and Troy Tulowitzki's behind them and Russell Martin's right in front of them and Josh Donaldson's to their right and Edwin Encarnacion to their left and Jose Bautista is in the outfield. And there's a sense of responsibility that comes with coming into that mix and that fold. And because of that leadership and those pieces to this team, there's a lot of people thinking about one thing, and that's winning a championship. And that's what's, you know, helped us come to the best decision.
Shifting focus a little bit, Francisco Liriano will start tonight in Kansas City against the Royals. Have you guys, do you know, have Pete Walker, Russ Martin, or have you guys been able to identify any things that have resulted in his less than, you know, the less than spectacular performance, shall we say, this year? And have you been able, I know it's been short, but have you been able to make, has Pete been able to make some tweaks or some adjustments with Francisco?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things we see that are, you know, clear things to try. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I'm quite certain that Pittsburgh tried them as well.
Right.
But you never know. The thing that I just touched on and mentioned, I think, will be the biggest impact. I think when someone who is accomplished as Francisco is, and he turns around and sees an all-star team surrounding him, and then there's familiarity in front of him and Russell Martin, you know, you just never know what that does to an elite athlete from a psyche and from a mental standpoint. And we've seen how it's impacted Benoit and Grilley. So that, you know, the fact that we have someone, these are good people too. They're selfless. They are about winning. They're not about individual results and accomplishments. They have one thing in mind. And Francisco, we knew we were getting that. So we were comfortable, you know, making that acquisition because in the end, we know it's going to be a selfless effort on his part. So there's a couple things we have found, and you know they aren't, you know, the taking us to the promised land. But one is his, you know, his tempo and staying back over the rubber a little bit longer. He was doing more of in 2015 and less of in 2016. And then secondarily, Russ's ability to get off-speed pitches, or not necessarily ability, but confidence to call off-speed pitches in any and every count, and then, you know, the experience of receiving, and you know, and again, I'm not taking anything away from Pittsburgh, but the fact that Cervelli was down there and Russ Martin wasn't catching him, we saw it was definitely a competitive advantage now that he is.